black, brown, baby, 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 yeah, black, 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 yeah, black, 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 yeah, black, 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 brown, 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 black, 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 yeah, black, 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 yeah, black, 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 brown, 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 black, 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 brown, 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 brown,
Hey everybody, we're back with another special edition of Downtown Black and Brown. I have a very special guest here with me. She is a nationally known author, in which I met recently over the interwebs by the name, or her book is by the name of Afrofuturism. And she's here to tell us about our book. Tell us about your book, please, Yatasha.
Yes, the book is called Afrofuturism, The World of Black Sci-Fi and Fantasy Culture. And essentially, it's about the it's about the philosophy of Afrofuturism, but it takes a look at creators, filmmakers, artists, people who are writers, and it also looks at a lot of the theory and some of the inspiration for Afrofuturism itself. Really a primer, an introduction to Afrofuturism for those who may have heard of it, or in the case of others, you know, there's those who have not heard of it, but it really helps them flush out some of their ideas around identity, culture, technology, and the imagination.
Yes, very interesting. Since we're going to start off just kind of giving a basic synopsis of the book, I figured before I ask you any of the questions I'm going to ask you, I might as well ask you this one first. I was going to ask you it at the end of it, but why not ask you now? So just really quick, define what give us a broad definition of what you would call Afrofuturism.
Well, Afrofuturism is the intersection between technology, black culture, the imagination, and liberation. There is some mysticism that I say is involved as well. But at the heart, it looks at possible futures. The art form zips between space and time and really looks at other narratives, other stories involving black culture and the imagination.
Yes, yes. I like that definition you gave. One thing I like about the whole concept, so I'm in this kind of, I guess, a Twitter blog group, if you will, and they kind of really dug deep into the whole Afrofuturism thing. And I enjoy it for me, from what I've learned from it, especially from you, is the entertainment value. Because your book is fiction, yeah?
No, it's nonfiction.
Nonfiction, right. But within the story, you have it where on Amazon you can read some of it. And I was reading some of the first chapter, and you were, and I don't want to give away your book or anything to people who haven't read it, but I wanted to talk about this other series that you have. You talked about a series you have called Rayla 22.
Rayla 2212, right.
Can you tell us about that series?
Yeah, sure. Rayla 2212 is an ebook that I released. Actually put out the first portion of it under 2212 Book of Rayla. And it follows a character named Rayla Ilmatic, who lives on a former space colony, a former Earth colony, that's now independent. She's a third generation citizen on this planet. It's called Planet Hope. She lives on the outskirts of Obama City. And this utopian world is turned upside down, and she's charged with trying to find some of the missing astronauts, missing Neo astronauts, whose absence put the world in turmoil. So it involves some time travel. It explores identity. And she gets to go back to some really cool worlds. And I think that it was a really fun project for me, but very helpful, I think, in really digging deep for me personally into what Afrofuturism is all about.
Okay. Would you classify that book as fiction or that series?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fiction. You can go to the website, rayla2212.com, and there's even this really cool video trailer of Rayla. You can see her in action. And we have some prequels to the story as well that you can check out, as well as the soundtrack. There were some great contributors to the soundtrack. Leon Pugh, as well as Jonathan Woods, contributed some really great songs to help create this world of Rayla that we have, that you can experience through the website and by following Rayla on Twitter. And you can get a lot of insights through the Team Rayla site, where you get information on space travel. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's a project that I'm going to be talking about pretty extensively with the Race and Space Conference. It's going to be at Duke University.
Okay, now that's sweet. That's exciting to learn about. And you know what I like about that series that you have, and I'm going to check it out too, is that the endless possibilities with it. Because I was just thinking in my mind, like, you know, what she has created could, if the right people get a hold of it or hear about your book and that series, and you could turn that into like something like a cartoon on the Adult Network at night, or something like it could definitely be a movie.
I had a lot of fun putting it together. There's a lot of storylines, a lot of different directions that she can go in. And I'm pretty thrilled with her. I started doing some more writing. There's some new stuff that's going to be coming out. So I can't wait for people to really dive in and take a look at her. Rayla O'Matic's pretty cool.
That's cool. So, yeah.
You know, I have a question for you. How long have you been a sci-fi fan?
Oh, okay, so for me, sci-fi goes way back. So, you know, I'm a kid, grew up in the 80s, and went back when I had a black and white TV and we didn't have cable. I'd always try to catch the Star Trek episodes. But and then every year when Star Wars came on, of course, I collected a lot of Star Wars action figures as a kid growing up. And I would say, I wouldn't say I'm a complete space geek, if you will, but I definitely appreciated the culture always growing up. And one thing that I feel like is similar to you is that I long to see the black characters in those places.
Right. Yeah, and that's what makes Afrofuturism so exciting. For many years, you didn't see many people of color in depictions of the future. Mm-hmm. And now, because we have so many different ways to tell our stories, you have artists who are able to create these characters, create these great images, and really get them out there into the forefront and really connect with the audience. And it's such a thrill for people to see black characters in the future. I think it's inspiring. I think for some people, it gives them an idea of where they could go or what they could do. But even more than that, it really stretches the imagination. And it's this aspect of stretching the imagination that excites me the most about Afrofuturism.
Yes. And even from a real scientific stamp, I noticed I've been following you now for a while now since I met you, and you into Neil deGrasse Tyson.
You know, he does a lot of great work. And I think that in addition to the things that he says, the fact that he is a person of African descent saying it, it just is a face for maybe mass culture to, I guess, you know, it's a face, one of many black scientists that exist and have existed for some time. He's getting a lot of mainstream shine, which I think is great. And I think, you know, in many ways, it just reminds people, hey, you have people of color who participate in the sciences as well. So besides he's talking about space, I think it's extra cool. And he says a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you better believe he's got some mainstream attention, if you will, because I actually, a few months back, tried to reach out to get him on my show. And his publicist reached back to me and told me, you know, you have to book in 3 months in advance. And it's already looking like that window is filled. So, but wow. I was fortunate enough to at least find out that, hey, maybe he'll actually do it and I don't have to pay him to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, you put your bid in, and 3 months later, you know, I'll be listening to your interview.
Yeah, I hope so, right. Yeah, that would be exciting. And so here's another thing I wanted to talk about, just a little bit more of a peek into your book for my listeners. But, and I'm sure you're okay with it, because I'm sure you know that you can actually read some of your book online before you purchase.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, you know, you want the readers to have a taste of what they're going to get.
And listeners, let me tell you, by the way, that Miss Womack is a, man, she is an outstanding writer. Beautiful writer. You'll love her material. So, but in the first chapter, you were talking about just, you were giving a peek into yourself, and you were talking about how, you were Princess Leia as a child, and I kept picturing this little black girl with afro puffs on each side and a little white dress and a saber.
Yeah, that was me. Well, you know, I had my hair kind of coiled. I'm sure. Yes, that was me. Yes, and it was great. You know, I love Princess Leia. I always wanted her to get way more screen time. I wanted to see Princess Leia in these awesome fight scenes. You know, maybe that's to come, but I really liked them. I mean, I had the earrings, I had a little, you know, gold link belt, and my sword was a wooden sword. It's actually one I think we got from a King Arthur's fair.
Really?
Yeah, so.
That's cool. That is so exciting. Now, I was more, as a child, I was a Star Wars guy, but I wasn't so much into sci-fi as I was just comics in general and comic book characters and superheroes in general.
Well, you know, that's what's so cool, because in the book talk a lot about a lot of the Comic-Con participants, people who are in cosplay, but also I talk about a lot of the artists, a lot of illustrators. There's a big independent comic book scene that exists. There's a gentleman named Pertell Henry who kind of calls it the Black Age in comics. So you have black comic book conventions that take place in Chicago, Detroit, and the Onyx Con in Atlanta. And there's a thriving scene. If you go on Black Science Fiction, BlackScienceFictionSociety.com, you'll find a host of people who are creating these really, really great independent projects. And I really encourage people, if they can, to go to some of these Comic-Cons and stop by Artist Alley. Some phenomenal artists who are there creating their own comic work, putting their pieces out there. And I just think that many people would be surprised and delighted to know that it's such a rich world of creators who exist. This is really about reconnecting with them and supporting their work.
Yes, networking and supporting your work. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more of that before we even go to our first break. But another thing I wanted to talk to you about was how you were saying that you were talking about how you were into this thing we call Afrofuturism long before it was termed as, you know, coined as a term. And
Before I discovered the term, let's put it that way.
Okay. And the thing was, you were also saying, or hinted to that, was that anyone who has sought after or brought the culture to everyone's attention in all these different facets could be considered an Afrofuturist. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have always really been interested in creating science fiction work with people of color. You know, in the book, I talk about W.E.B. Du Bois, who wrote a science fiction story. And there are many advocates, activists, people who are very much concerned about Black American society in the late 1800s who wrote science fiction stories or wrote speculative fiction stories. And they did this to kind of explore possible futures, but they also did it, I think, as a relief with respect to many of the challenges of the time. So I think that's a very powerful device. Currently, there's a project out, Octavia's Brood, and it's a book, and there are short science fiction stories contributed by various advocates and activists. And I think that's really cool because here you have people who are really toiling and very diligent in the work that they do, maybe not always getting credit for it, but they're inspired by science fiction. And as a release and as both an inspiration, they like writing science fiction stories. I think that says a lot about the relationship between creativity and a real world change. I think there's just a core link there. And so in the book, when I say that many people are probably Afrofuturists, you know, and didn't quite realize that they were, I think whenever you are trying to dismantle this technology that we call race, and whenever you are connected to maybe a higher vision and want to create change, or you want to bring light to the fact that there are Black scientists and that people of African descent have been contributing to the sciences for thousands of years, that's all work that helps inform us about just the role that people from Black cultures have played in the sciences and in the imagination around the sciences. It's not something that is not a part of our culture. And I just think that that's a great thing for people to be able to view our culture in that respect. Sometimes, you know, there's other narratives that we pay attention to, but not always just one of optimism, I think, or of, I guess, pressing for change, but doing so in a way that really defies the limits of the time, and seeing that as a narrative that should also be connected to ideas around the future and science and maybe in some way science fiction. You know, one thing I say on occasion is that the fact that we have a Black president in the U.S. today, at one point that would have been a science fiction story, you know, not so long ago. So it's interesting, you know, a lot of these relationships, and I'm just excited that so many people who contributed to Afrofuturism, who didn't know they contributed to Afrofuturism, now in part, you know, get to explore a language and see, wow, you know, I connect to these ideas. This is something I've been thinking about. But this is an area I've been working in. So I'm excited about it.
I am too. And what I like about what you just said is that, like, so thinking about the work you're doing with it yourself, with this book and, you know, your fiction series as well, you're actually helping with that vision of how what could be in our future, you know.
Well, you know, thanks. I think what I like is that in thinking about Afrofuturism, people can view themselves as creators. Creators in their own lives and creators in the world to come. And in that contemplation, that just changes your present-day experience. So whether someone wants to become a science fiction fan or not, that's not really the point of the book. To me, it's just another window into the culture, another window into the contribution to humanity, and another way to get people to stretch their imagination.
I like that. I really do. And one other book I wanted to ask you about before we go to our break. You wrote a book, I believe it's called Post Black.
Yeah, I did write Post Black.
Now, what I did was, I really kind of researched really fast. Before I've been researching you since we met, but I really just found this out just recently. You're on Goodreads. And so I followed you on Goodreads and marked you as going to read soon. But I didn't get to check out the little brief synopsis. But tell us about that book.
Sure. Post Black came out in 2010. I had the pleasure of writing it shortly around the time Barack Obama announced his presidency, and kind of finished it around the time he had been elected. And that was a very exciting period to be writing a book. But in short, I mean, Post Black just looks at the 21st century Black identity in these new times that we're in, and how it's evolving, and how it's changed, and some of the factors playing into that change, and just kind of creating a bridge and a language to look at that change in process. Post-Black is not post-racial, as I like to tell people. Post-racial means that all imbalances or power dynamics associated with race are over, which is not what Post-Black is stating. But what it is stating is, as we get to that point in life, these times are very much, there are some things evident in these times that show that we could be getting to that point. And I talk about Black immigrants in the U.S. I talk about the GLBT community within the Black community. I talk about people of multi-ethnic heritage who also identify as Black. And I talk about just, you know, being a talented sense in some ways, or looking at that idea that W.E.B. Du Bois put out there and some of the dynamics around that today. So I also talk about people with alternative or non-traditional spiritual beliefs. And the reason I talked about these different groups is because they aren't anomalies, and they're larger in number. And with these new windows of change, you know, very much changing what we like to say are the norms in Black culture. So I just like fully integrating a lot of these ideas and beliefs, because I think it can help everyone just by recognizing it. And around the time when I decided to write the book, I didn't feel that these changes were evident to many people. Even if they were looking at it, they didn't quite know how to describe what they were looking at, or wanted to sort of dismiss it. I talk about artists and hip-hop and a host of things, Generation Gap. It was a really fun book. I had a great time, did a great tour with it, and in doing that book, it led me to some ideas that took me to the space of writing Afrofuturism. I think that's a nice leap, don't you, Post-Black to Afrofuturism?
I love it, man. You know, one thing that you can never do with the creative process is try to put it inside of something, because you never know where it's going to go.
That is very, very true.
You know, you probably had no idea that one thing would lead into the next.
No, I did not know that I'd be writing about Afrofuturism around the time I was writing Post-Black. I had no idea. But, you know, intuitively, maybe, you know, these paths, they're taking in different spaces. And I appreciate it, because I think Afrofuturism is a fun framework to look at identity. And, it's a fun framework to look at Black identity, but I think it's a fun framework to look at identity just in general, particularly with respect to these quickly transformative times, or these quickly changing times. So I think it works.
Yeah, I love it. And so, yeah, with that being said, before we go into our first break, I want you to go ahead and take this opportunity to tell everyone where we can find you, you know, how we can find your book and how my listeners and audience can get a hold of that book.
Sure. Well, they can go to their local bookstore, or they can go to Amazon.com, or they can go to iAfrofuturism.com, and you'll be able to get the book. It's widely available. And you can follow me on Twitter, just like Enrique does. Yatasha Womack. That's my name.
Yes, Yatasha Womack. Please follow her and check her out. Google her. She has a website. It's iAfrofuturism, yes?
Yes,
and
that's it.
Yeah, that's where you can check out everything about her and her works. If you have a Goodreads account, and I'm sure some of the geeks out there listening to my show are fanatics of books, you can check her out there too. And yeah, I'm looking forward to digging into my copy as soon as I get it here at the end of the week.
Oh, awesome!
And yeah. I'm gonna get the post black copy as well.
Oh, ooh, you're doing double duty here.
Yeah, you better believe it. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and so with that, we'll be right back after this music and commercial break.
Here at Single Simulcast, we often think about our listeners, what you're feeling, what your emotions are.
I wish there was a show that I could depend on.
Every Wednesday, Single Simulcast will bring you some of the liveliest, funniest podcasts that you've ever heard, with such things as skits, musical interludes, and parody songs.
I wish there was a show that I could laugh at.
We here at Single Simulcast fully support you and your visions and dreams, so we will never do anything but bring you the most hilarious storylines in the game today.
I wish I could fly.
Single Simulcast loves you. We want you to know that we will always be funny, except for now, because we're being serious. Serious about being funny.
I wish I had a wish star like Macaulay Culkin.
That's Single Simulcast. On iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom, and at www.singlesimulcast.com. Single Simulcast. If you don't know by now, then you're probably slipping.
This is Single Simulcast. Don't know by now, then you're slipping.
What's up? It's your man Sam, host of the Just Talking with Sam podcast. What? Just Talking with Sam podcast from SamShowNation.com. Anything related to the podcast you can get from SamShowNation.com. Even the guys at Downtown B&B gave us their blessing. They listen to us. You should too. We live from Detroit. We doing our thing. We got a mix of comedy and music, comedians and musicians, as well as the crew here at Just Talking with Sam podcast. What? Just Talking with Sam podcast. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts from. Everybody and their brother got a podcast nowadays, and we're better than them. So it is what it is. Go to SamShowNation.com. Thank you, guys. Peace out.
Greetings, Earthlings. You're now listening to the Spaceman mixtape. I ain't gonna do a whole lot of talking. This first track is a sneak peek off the new up-and-coming 40 Ball Dash mixtape from my guy DJ Infrared and my guy Ryan on a Mission. Go ahead and wetten your palate on some good hip-hop right here. Just straight spitting. Y'all know what it is. It's your boy, Space Man. Man.
He's infrared, I'm infra-green. Chiropractic your back, how I been to spleen. I'm addicted to cash, I'm a bank addict. And stay on top of my money just like a bank's addict. If I wasn't invited back, I was getting high. So thanks for being on that mission like bums at Union Gospel. Back on popular demand, they wanting more. I dropped 40 like Kane in a corner store. In that sin spins, like when the clock bill. Fire delivery, say I got hot mail. Catch you spell so that you remember me. Your hands like tourists at the top of the Statue of Liberty. Street nigga to the core, I'm a state bro. So when my fist out, pounded like a stray dog. Novelist, you a magazine when you write. You get murdered, dog. Flip the last page of your life. Like a gun to my head. I got it wrapped Northwest forever on my back. Like I got a tat so ill. You wishing that you hurting me sooner. Flow sick, pockets lump, currency tumors. Mentally slaving a whole pimp and you hating the bull. Stealing my fucking flow without permission. Raping the bull. Suck niggas. Drop niggas, knock niggas, scurred so they sit with my head turned like shoplifters. Space, fly, find some with the knock-on. Put the heat to your head, just like a hot cone. So soap on the block, trying to do things. Stop moving rocks on the block like square hoop dreams. You got beef with space to the fucking man. My gun's known to pop up like fucking spam. I got goons that's on it, fam. On the block trying to get change for an exchange of 100 grand. What rings like Sneagle? Seattle heroin flow. I ejected with the space needle. Fuck billets, I put them to the back. My hardships make doves cry. Crown me the prince of rap. You can call me for short SBACE. I'm the change to the game. Hip hop hit a three. Change. Space. Name. Woo!
Hello, ladies. I'm coming. Are you coming? Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Just you. Wonder why the chicks call me at the top of the morning. I thought, well, the early bird catches the worm. With chicks with me, yep, yep, I stay up, hit them. You like a fast race with them, lay up with them. Girls love when I talk this way. The arrow pointed to me, so she walked this way. Mommy don't like the one-eyed cobra snake, cause when she aggravated, it might just spit in the face. I'm a star, little mommy, tell me who's you. Make it drop from the top down to Tougaloo. I could be your favorite choice, baby, choose or lose. Pick which, either old dude or future boo. She picked me cause my brights is like hoes guessing on my ice like Price is Right. Manual when I hand you, she ride stick. This girl I'm taking a pole, no politics. Okay. I told you a little bit, you know. You know I'm here. Now you need to know where I come from and know how I'm coming, you know what I mean? So, let me tell you a little bit where I come from, my background, and then you can get in, then you can really understand. Just you. Coming up, I was willing to be that player dude, snatch a freak, drop game, lay the rules. She hanging packs, knew exactly what to say to crew. Never handcuffed the block, not a hater fool. Put my dick in your girl face, she blow the head. Pimp status, have her run the bullet, showing leg. Stop lying, saying my girl, get you action. Actually, it was an accident, titty popped out like Janet Jackson. Shame your girl's supposed to be your main squeeze. The ice in her tongue ring gave my dick a brain freeze. Bet you never sex in a bed next to screens. Sex better when she best. Extra pills, spaceman up in the sack. I sex with skills, but hey bitch, fuck your pussy, I sex your grill. Girl ain't getting a proper dick, that concerns me. My dick stuff your girl face like taxidermy. Like I said, now you know where I'm coming from. You know what this starship is, don't be dumb. Whenever you ready for this starship again, you know what to do, just for you. Ha. But it's a one-way trip.
can't.
Hey, what's up? You know, this is the one and only DJ Felonious, world famous Bum Squad DJs. Right now, you're in the mix with my man, Spaceman, lighting it up. Let's go.
This is Josh Kokoris from Book of Josh.
It's Rick Owen from Radio Freed Rick.
Hi, I'm Milky Way.
Pouch.
Eugene. And we're dropping loads.
I'm Dennis DeAnton.
And I'm Mario Loya
from Burndown Hollywood.
And you're listening to
the 76th Street Network.
Hey guys, this is Brad.
This is Corey.
And I'm Jared. We're from Return of the Living Podcast, and you're listening to the 76th Street Network.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Adam.
And I'm Barry.
From the Console Culture Podcast. We're a podcast all about gaming, gaming news, reviews, issues, and we talk about it with style.
That's right. Anything up and coming, we're there.
We're available on the Stitcher app. We're available on iTunes. You can visit us at consoleculture.podbean.com.
Check us out on Facebook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Console Culture. Shoot us an email at gmail, consoleculture@gmail.com.
We're blown up.
In Denmark.
Podcasting 101, the podcast that's all about podcasting. Think of starting your own podcast? Lucky for you, you no longer have to finish The Idiot's Guide to Podcasting or Podcasting for Dummies. Nope. Slam that book. Podcasting 101 is the podcast for you. Twice a week, every Monday and every Friday, learn new tips and tricks from some of the most successful podcasters and how they started out. We made mistakes, so you don't have to. We talk interviews, marketing, branding your show, even ways to potentially earn a buck from your podcast. I've got some of the best podcasts in every genre coming on the show. Comedy, science, business, writing, publishing, marketing, and sports. No matter what kind of podcast you host or are planning on hosting, you should check out Podcasting 101. Don't take it from me. Read all of our 5-star reviews on iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, you can find the show on the front page of iTunes, new and noteworthy. Or you can just search Podcasting 101 and click the subscribe button. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're also on Stitcher Radio. Wherever you listen to podcasts is where Podcasting 101 is. Thanks for the time. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And that music that you just heard was a quick snippet from a song called Greetings by Spaceman, a local rap artist here from Seattle. You should enjoy that when he's on this whole space kicky. I thought the song was fitting for the interview, so you'll be able to find out where to check out that music in the show notes. But back to the interview with our famous author, Yatasha Womack. And now we're into our second portion of our interview. This part is kind of fun. You never know where it goes, so this is my version of James Lipton, and it usually turns out pretty good. So the first question is, what is your favorite word?
Oh, wow. This really is James Lipton. my favorite word? Enthusiasm.
I love it. Tell us why.
People don't say the word enthusiasm very frequently. It's kind of a fun word. You can't say enthusiasm with a frown.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And just words like that are uplifting.
Yeah.
I'm all about positivity. You know, here over at my podcast at Downtown Black and Brown, we promote it extensively. I once did an episode a few months back where we talked about happiness and what it takes to be happy. My co-host, who's actually on a hiatus because he had to get his mind right, you know, he's on a vacation right now. But at the time, we both committed to watching this documentary on Netflix called How to Be Happy. And for all my listeners, go back and check out that episode and maybe check out that documentary on Netflix. But, you know, it visited different places around the world and how they, you know, define happiness and what keeps them happy.
Right.
And one of the things I learned from that was, you know, how people maintain enthusiasm is they live simply.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know how I went off into that, but it was just the word enthusiasm, yeah.
Yeah, see, like I told you, enthusiasm, it takes you there.
I love it. So our next question is, what is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word? Can't.
And that one's kind of discouraging, isn't it?
I think so, the way a lot of people use it.
I say for me, you know, the word can't, in a weird, strange way, in a lot of different places in my life, it has motivated me. You know, having different people tell me what I can't do has pushed me to the point where I've gotten to, in some ways. So, I mean, I guess some people can take the negative energy and turn it around and use it as fuel.
Yeah, I mean, some people are really good at that, and I think for some people, it's just a little tougher.
Well, you know, let's look deeper into this, because I just recently interviewed someone, and she was it was also a woman, and her least favorite word was can't. But her reasoning was because she's a brat, and she doesn't like to hear no, you know, basically. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it plays different ways. You know what? Can't can be a good thing, depending on what people are telling you you can't do, right? No, you can't put your hand in the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe I'm contradicting myself. I'm finding the good things about can't. But, you know, in general, it doesn't... I think... There's another way you can phrase it. Instead of, no, you can't put your hand in the fire, maybe it's, you know, don't put your hand in the fire.
Right. Well, no, I get where you're coming from.
If you are going to put your hand in the fire, you'll probably hurt yourself. So that's not the best thing to do.
Right, and I totally get where you're coming from in the general context of which the way the word's used, I don't like it either, you know? So, yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. I could see how that could be a least favorite word. Tell us, what would be your favorite noise or sound that you'd love?
Laughter.
Yeah, me too. I love the sound of laughter. I've recently had a whole string of comedians on my show. And every time, they're all different, and they all have different styles of telling jokes, but all of them make me laugh so hard that my eyes start watering and my stomach hurts. So,
yeah, good laugh is important.
Yeah, it releases endorphins into your mind and body, and they say when you're happy is when you can get into a creative state more easily.
Probably. Or at least you can be a little more clear about what you're doing.
Yeah, that is a trip. So let's see. Let's ask you this. What sound or noise would you say that you would hate?
I guess nails on a chalkboard.
Nails on a chalkboard, huh?
Yeah. That's not inviting.
Yeah, that kind of hurts the ears, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I hate those kind of eerie, kind of weird sounding noises. They irritate me. There's this sound when I come out of my apartment building where, especially this time of year because it's around fall, and so the wind is blowing extensively hard, and you can hear the wind blowing in the shaft of the elevator. It sounds like like if you were in England somewhere, like the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's freaky.
Oh, that's not an inviting sound either.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's funny. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, and emotionally?
Wow, all of those together.
Yes, you can take your time with this.
You know what? Really good visual art.
Okay.
Really good art. And dancing. You know what? I'll say both. Can I have two answers?
Yes.
I'll say visual art and dancing.
Yes, this question is open-ended. I'll answer it as you will.
Okay, yeah. Then those are my picks. Visual art and dancing. I think seeing like a really, really great piece of art, very imaginative, for me, it's really helpful and it helps to ground a lot of the work that I do. And then dancing, I just love dancing. So doing that just makes me feel so interconnected.
Yes, yes, I see that in your background. You are a dancer. What type of dancing is it that you mainly?
Oh, all of it. All okay. of it rolled up in one.
Right. Yeah. Just getting out there, getting movement, yes. That's good. And let's see. Let's flip that question around and say, what turns you off in that way, spiritually, creatively, and emotionally?
I guess complaining, maybe. Just complaining to no end. It's one thing when, okay, you're upset about something, and, you know, we all are there at that point, but, try to flip it. If it bothers you that bad, then do something about it. Or think of a way to get away from it.
How to turn negatives into positives.
Yeah.
I like that. I've always thought about writing a book myself, but it wouldn't be, I guess you'd put it under the self-help column or genre. You know, because the whole thing with, like you said, the word enthusiasm. And it just makes me think about all these different ideas that I have about that and different shows that I've done. And I'm thinking about taking all of my little works and compiling them into like a little book.
I think that would be nice. You know, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. And, I guess maybe even coming across you has inspired me.
Thank you. That's so kind of you to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, go for it. I mean, if you're looking at a book and you've got these shows, you have a voice, I think your readers, or rather your listeners, would appreciate getting some new insights into MJ Black.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like that. Thank you so much. Even though this, I'm terrible because I made the interview almost for a second there into me when it's about you, dear Miss Womack.
No, it's all good.
All right. So now let's ask you another question. What profession other than your own that you do not right now would you like to do or try?
That I'd like to do or try?
Yes.
You know what? That's a good question. I'd like to do or try. A lot of things I've had some interest in, I do in some small way, bigger, for example, I really like dancing. So, of course, I'll go and dance and perform, and then I'll, teach dance classes. So I guess that doesn't count. I really, really like archaeology and anthropology. So I play with different worlds, I think, in some of my stories, and I think my journalistic approach when I decided to become a journalist, I said, oh, great. The things I'm writing will be things that people can look future. The archaeologists and anthropologists of the future might look at some of the stuff I wrote. So.
Yes. Yes. Why not? Right. Absolutely.
Right. So I said, there's my contribution there. I guess I'm not, anything I have an interest in, I'll pursue in some way, big or small, even if it's just reading about it. I would like to go on a archaeological dig, though. I would like to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like Indiana Jones, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know about that adventure aspect of it. Leaping across rivers and so forth. But I think I would like just going on an archaeological dig.
Yes, okay, cool. Yeah, I would like to do something like that, too. I would try it, because I would like to do it in Egypt.
That would be fun. Yeah, I would really like to accompany some of the scientists and go down there and see some of the sites. And I don't know, I guess dust off some of the some of the pottery. I don't know how it works exactly. Well, I guess I have an idea how it works. I just think it would be great, you know, to just to be around these really old cultures, ancient cultures, and take a look. That would be fun. So great, Enrique. Maybe that's something that we'll do. We'll do together. We're going to art, at anthropological or archaeological group. I'll say it all started here.
Right, yeah. I'm telling you, what we're doing now, trust me, I think about it all the time. Like, with every guest that I have, I'm like, you know, when
you
I look back at some point.
Yeah,
well, I mean, just in general, like, if I, when I look back, it's going to be amazing. Like, because you're, you know, you'll be world renowned eventually, you know? And so, for me to be able to have the opportunity to be one of the first to interview you, that's a great opportunity.
Well, that's nice of you to say. That's a nice thing to say.
I mean, I wish all everyone that I ever interview to all the best in what they want to do in life. You know, I interview a lot of dreamers and innovators and whatever it is they do.
Yeah, well, every little bit helps. It all helps to shape the society. It all helps to make our world an exciting, harmonious place to be. So. I think for any of the innovators or creators who are out there and you kind of feel a little down, just know that every time you create some sort of light, it helps inspire someone. Your work does make a difference.
Indeed, indeed it does. And one thing that I think what you're doing in your books is you are doing what it is that you long for, what you've longed for, and you're... And that's the whole thing, what you're defining Afrofuturism. You longed for seeing the black culture in the future, seeing the black characters in the future, and the entertainment, and ingraining that in the culture. And so what you decided to do was, since you weren't seeing enough of it, you decided to put it out there.
Yeah, but there's many people out there who are doing the same thing. And that's why I wrote the book. You know, many people who... have thought about these ideas for some time. The term Afrofuturism itself was a term that was coined by a writer named Mark Derry, and
okay.
May have been, you know, mid early 90s, and that's when the name started to evolve, and you know, people are still discovering the term. But you had a lot of really great academics who decided to do a lot of great work to introduce people to these ideas, to create a conversation around them. Alondra Nelson is one of those individuals, and there are many people who connected through her with some of the listservs and sites that she set up to talk about Afrofuturism, you know, just shortly after the name itself was created in the 90s. And it's because all of these people got to talk about these different ideas, and they got to look at the work of Asanra, or look at the work, the creations of George Clinton, or look at different sciences.
George Clinton, yes.
Well, you know, George Clinton had a lot of, you know, on the one end, you could say, oh, well, what does funk music have to do with Afrofuturism? But all of the metaphors and the music that he used were plays off of, were metaphors that played off of science fiction. I mean, you know, the mothership.
Yes, indeed. And he was talking about outer space.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of the metaphors that he used were really about inverting reality. And, you know, it was all about harmony and peace and love and maybe pushing people transcendence of the circumstances in a different sort of way, maybe, but the music that was created out of it was highly electric. You know, same thing with Sun Ra. If you haven't checked him out, he had some really interesting music. He was an avant-garde jazz artist who, you know, said spaces of place. He created this mythology where he came from another planet and wanted music to heal and to change lives. And, you know, he too kind of adopted the, you know, this Egyptian slash space garb that he presented himself in. And these are all about challenging images. Challenging images about how you could look or what you could be or what you could even talk about as a person of color in music. And they push those boundaries creatively. And that's just the creative end. You know, there are many people. There's Octavia Butler. There's Samuel Delaney. These are science fiction writers who cover Black culture. And there are, you know, movies and films and just many people who've created a lot of images, a lot of storylines where they took science fiction and they really informed it with Black culture and pulled from some of the stories of origin or some of the mythology that comes out of African cultures as well. And so many great people doing work today too. There's Emeka Okorafor, there's a John Jennings, there's you know, you have other professors like Aldo Anderson and, you know, just a host of people who are diligently working to create these images around the future, but also create kind of a explore philosophy to see how you can take some of this creativity and push forward and create new ways of thinking, maybe new modes of working together. And some of this might pull from the past, and some of this might pull from things we're doing in the present. But at the end of the day, it's all about being change agents. And Afrofuturism, yeah, Afrofuturism plays that role. See, I said George Clinton's name, it just, you know, took me into the stars. I just really wanted people to know that, you know, there's been many people of color who are both creators, who work in the sciences, who created stories, who came up with ideas and philosophies that really were about transforming culture and transforming our understanding of who you can be and what you can do and where you can go. And I just think that's thrilling.
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, I kind of went off with the cuff with you with that last one, but it's okay. I love it. The last question I wanted to ask you was, what profession other than your own would you never do?
Never do?
Or that, you know,
well,
something...
Well, you should probably say never.
Or something that you would just not, couldn't even imagine trying.
Can't imagine trying. Somebody can imagine trying. I don't know. I guess I can imagine almost anything.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, so you are like what you would call someone who's like just open to everything.
Wow. Well, I don't know about open to everything, but
right.
I'm flexible.
Right. Okay, flexible. I like that. Yeah, I consider myself flexible, if you will, too. Yeah, now I'm not so open to everything. For me, if I were to answer that question, probably something I would never want to do is be a person who jumps out of airplanes.
Oh. Okay. You
mean
you wouldn't want to do it once, you just wouldn't
want to
do it for a living.
Well, I don't even want to do it once, let alone make a living out of it. But I've actually thought about trying it because I think it's something that could help me conquer my own inner demons with fear, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something you'll do and you'll probably want to do it again and again.
Yeah, they say it's like after the first time you start doing it more and over again.
If that's what they say, then that's what it is. But, yeah. You know, that's what happens sometimes when we, you know, set boundaries around ourselves. You know, you can do preventing yourself from exploring the greatest source of happiness you could imagine. But it just seems so scary. Mm-hmm. Or uncomfortable, let's put it that way.
I like that, Yatasha. And so now you're promoting your book right now everywhere, yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, are you, do you have, now where are you at located in the country?
Oh, I'm in the Windy City. I'm in Chicago.
Okay, you know that's interesting too because I have family that I've never met from there. I'm here from all the way up here in the Northwest in Seattle, by the way.
But, okay, yeah.
Yes, I would love to, because I'm sure I have some Midwest listeners who'd love to know any places or appearances that you might be, or like book signings or anything.
Yeah, well, you know what? November 9th, I'm going to be a part of an event that Team Brit is putting together. It's an electronica fest. Mm-hmm. And I need to pull up the exact information for you, but it's November 9th and it's in Philadelphia. And King Brit's a DJ. Anyone who followed him knows he puts together, you know, these amazing mixes. He puts together some really cool Afro Futurism mixes as well with some fascinating artists. And I'm going to be there talking about my book.
There you go. And all my listeners on the East Coast over there in Philly, holla at us. And I'm going to put that information in the show notes when this episode actually drops. So that's cool.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they can just go to iafrofuturism.wordpress.com or iafrofuturism.com and I'll have all the information about some of my upcoming events.
Yes, that sounds perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you again for your time, Miss Womack. And when my co-host comes off of hiatus, we'll try to have you back again soon.
Oh, exciting. Thank you. This has been great. Thanks for inviting me every day.
Okay, and thank you again, and you have a lovely evening.
You too.
Okay.